This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Seattle Seahawks are signing Marquez Valdes-Scantling to a one-year, $5.5 million deal. We're still in the midst of the legal tampering period. The new league year officially starts at 3 p.m. Central. But as we've talked about for the last 48 hours or so, you've been seeing deals get made left and right. I want to talk right here, if we can, about the Texas Rangers, the top hitting duos in Major League Baseball. Do you think the Rangers have a combination in the top 10? And is this who you would pair with Corey Seager? Because obviously, if you're going to have a hitting duo from the Rangers, Corey Seager is going to be part of it. Now, whoever you think is going to be the other part of it, I think that's up for debate, and CBS has a list, and quite frankly, they picked somebody that I do not believe I would have picked to go in this spot.
Yeah, the Seager is your best power hitter.
Yep.
And your best, I mean, his batting average is right there at the top. I know last year Josh Smith had a great batting average, and his pop was pretty good too, but Seager's just a different animal over his career. So if I'm pairing... If I'm looking at a pair of great hitters on this team, I'm looking at what happened yesterday in Wyatt Langford's at bat where he smoked one, dude. I mean, just torched it. And have you heard the sound on that?
Yeah, I think it sounds the same.
Oh my God, you're the worst. This is why you're just not romantic about baseball.
I'm not.
Dude.
I think so that good. Is a giant waste
the
of time.
The sound of the when the ball hits the bat, crack. Oh, I love it.
Same.
God. So yeah, that is that is the dude that I would say is going to be by the end of the season the most terrifying dude on this team aside from Corey Seager. And that's what I'm looking at is like, who am I terrified of? Seager, I know is going, or Semien, I know is going up there as the leadoff hitter. He's told us, give me a fastball inside. I'm trying to hit it out of the park. Other than that, I'm doing what I can to get my pitch, and then I'll get there. But he's no longer that guy that I'm just scared of. I think Wyatt Langford's about to be.
Now the top five on CBS's list, power hitting tandems. Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto with the Mets lead the way. Perhaps somewhat controversial to people. Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts second on the list. Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger, who's doing a lot of the work there, at number three. Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson at four. And Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez at number five. Do you have an issue with the Rangers not being higher than any of those tandems? I don't think I do.
No.
So the Rangers...
Bellinger, I guess Aaron Judge is carrying all the weight on
yes,
that one.
Yes. So the Rangers come in at number seven. And CBS has Corey Seager and Marcus Semien from the Rangers. comprising the tandem. And I know we've talked a lot about the on-again, off-again years of Marcus Semien.
This is an on-year.
Yes. Theoretically, this would be an on-year. I think I get too caught up at times, or maybe exactly the right amount of caught up, with Wyatt Langford fever again from the end of last year and think, dude, he's got some pop. In the month of September, he hit 8 home runs. And I just start to think, could he hit 35 home runs or something along
with
those lines?
With the sound of the way that home run is, yes.
For the record, if you love that sound, that is phenomenal.
He doesn't like you.
Very rarely does it really sound different. I think people want it to sound different, and they're like, look how this sounds different. And you're like, does it though?
In the World Series run, Adolis, like, we wanted Semien to be the guy. Adolis was the other one. They were the most terrifying combination of hitters in the World Series. And you saw it play out almost every time they got up to the plate. They were like, we're putting one out of the park and we're saving the season. You want it to be Adolis. Everybody wants it to be Adolis. Everybody in that clubhouse wants it to be Adolis too. I am a little concerned that wanting him to do it can become a problem at some point, because you just keep giving him chances when maybe he doesn't deserve them anymore. But because of what he has done in the past, he will continue to get those chances. You want it to be him. I'm interested also if Jake Berger is a real power threat, or if he's just like a guy that has some pop and you can. But that's the other person on this team. Obviously, Josh Jung would be a great candidate for it too. At some point, because Josh Jung hits for power, he can drive doubles into the gaps, and as long as he is healthy.
I mean, we have to say that, right?
As long as he is healthy, that guy is a great fixture in your lineup.
From the 940, this is not related, but this is an amazing card, and I want to shout this person out. Or not shout outs, that's on Friday. I just pulled a Caitlin Clark Color Blast. Might be the best card I've ever pulled. I mean, I don't know if you're looking to get it graded, sell it, whatever. You can do both of those things starting tomorrow at the Dallas Card Show in Allen. But that is an incredible card. That might be better than any card I've ever pulled. From the 817. Let's do that one first. The list is probably Semien and Seager, but hopefully Langford. From the 940, Seager and Berger. Berger is going to have a monster season. Berger is somebody that we've talked about him here and there, obviously, and we had him on the show, and that's great, but that's another player. If he had a monster season, you'd love it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what's the real expectation for Berger this year?
25 home runs?
That's good. It feels low.
What is your... Now I'm excited.
I want him
this.
To pop 30.
Okay.
That would be, like, if he's in this lineup and this lineup's going good, he should get some pitches that set up for lots of RBIs. Again, the rest of the lineup has to be going pretty good too.
You know what, Corey? Actually, it looks like you might be more spot on, and I might have gone low, because last year he had 29. The year before, he had 34 home runs. So
somewhere in between is around 31, 2.
So perhaps I'm being too... Yes, it is. So perhaps I'm being too... Man, nothing gets by that math. Perhaps I'm being too conservative with it. All right.
And you know what? That does set you up for not failing. True. If he hits 25, you're good. A few more is really nice.
You would really like it, though, if more people were on base for some of these home runs, because 34 home runs and 29 home runs. So as Corey pointed out, it's an average of between 31 and 32. That is accurate. And then his RBIs, though, 80 and then 76 this last season.
I think he can do better than that.
Exactly. Because if you're going 30, let's just say 31 bombs. If you're going 31 bombs, I think 78 RBIs is a disappointing number. Like, I'm stoked about all the home runs you hit.
Unless, and this is where it does come into the reality. If he's hitting behind Adolis and Adolis is cleaning up, and he's hitting solo shots because Adolis is cleaning up, then you're really happy with that. You're really happy with the production. If it's only 79 and Adolis is hitting in front of him and the bases are getting cleared because Adolis is knocking them in, Adolis is an RBI machine. Like, he has been known for that. When runners are on base and in scoring position, he can do it. And so if he's doing it and Berger's hitting behind him, it makes sense But you do want those guys to have their opportunities to really, you know, bring those runners home.
Man, somebody really took offense to me saying that I don't think it sounds different with Wyatt. And they made me look up a product that I was not familiar with before. The triple, I don't know.
What is a triple shaboing boing?
I looked it up. It is a very humorous, that is a very humorous text that they sent in.
Dude, that thing looks amazing.
But I think they were trying to use that phrasing in a derogatory manner.
Every chef in the world out there has two thoughts when they see the triple shaboing boing. One, why didn't I think of it first?
Sure.
Two, that is a disgrace to cooking. That is, wow.
I thought it was funny. So, well done, 682.
Is it still a thing?
I have no freaking clue.
Makes the triple shaboing boing now?
Now, to go along with this, Corey, what if I told you that MLB.com had a list where they just picked one division winner? They all unified and they said, we will select one division winner. We will not have 37 experts picking 37 different things. Well, not that many teams, but you get the idea. Yep. We will just have one. Would you like to hear said list?
Yes.
Who is going to win the American League East? The Orioles.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me to guess. Orioles.
Okay, you can guess. Who is going to win the AL Central?
Detroit.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
No way.
No, I'm just kidding. It's the Tigers. Who is going to win the National League East? You have to build the suspense.
The National League East.
Yeah, you have to build the suspense.
I'll stick with the Braves in that one.
That is who they picked. Who is going to win the National League Central?
Are the Diamondbacks in the Central?
They're in the West.
They're in the West. Okay, Milwaukee?
The Milwaukee Brewers. Were you scared off because Kyle Tucker started 0 for 20 for the Cubs? And you're like, I don't know about that.
0 for 20, like, great pickup there.
And I feel like I know where you'll go here. Who is
Padres.
What?
Oh, yeah, the Dodgers are in the West.
What about
the Diamondbacks?
Hey, if you think a team not named the Dodgers is going to win the NL West,
they get paid.
Yes.
If they do.
You absolutely could. Now, to the American League West. They say the wild card team is going to be the Mariners. But the question is, who will win the...
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
American League West Division.
They have a T in the middle of their hat.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They still, the Texas Rangers hat does have a T in the middle.
Not in the overlap edition.
Is that because the Rangers are the, never mind.
I love saying that. And
but
like,
you can't.
It's awesome. You
yeah.
Know? Yeah, I think it's Texas Rangers, baby.
The Texas Rangers have been selected by MLB.com as the champions of the American League West. Now, I'm going to take it even one step further. They put all the teams in a draft for who you think could win the World Series. Numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 were all from the National League. Obviously, the Padres.
Maybe the Dodgers.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, the Dodgers. The Dodgers were 1. The Braves were 2. The Phillies were 3. The Mets were 4. But number 5, the first team selected to win the World Series is from the American League.
Tigers.
No, it's not. What a terrible hype-up job
it's
I would be doing.
It's the most ridiculous claim in the history of baseball.
I agree.
Thank you, John Smoltz.
It's the Texas freaking Rangers.
Yeah. From the 619, whatever team Will Smith is on. Good question.
They didn't win last year.
You don't even know.
That's fair. Now, the little blurb says, yeah, I kind of can't believe I did this either. But first off, don't care about 78 and 84 last year. Don't care. Looking at a 2025 version that's added Jock Peterson and Jake Berger to the lineup. We also saw the Wyatt Langford we were looking for all year in September. You're going to see a lot more of Kamar Rocker in the rotation. Oh, yeah. And Jacob DeGrom is back and healthy. So they said,
go get Rangers.
Go get Rangers.
Go get Rangers.
And to be fair, they said, sure, I don't fully trust the bullpen, and I don't have a great deal of confidence in Adolis Garcia to rebound, even before his oblique injury. But think about that. This person does not have confidence in the bullpen or Adolis, and still said the Rangers are their top pick to make it to the World Series from the American League.
When they won the World Series, going into it, we were like, this bullpen's still terrifying. Who's our closer?
We used two pitchers, pretty much. Two bullpen pitchers, more or less.
Every once in a while, we were like, we got some lefties coming up. Let's throw Chapman in here. But it's Sporzy and Leclerc. Good luck to us.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Texas Rangers broadcaster and the man who knows everything about baseball. It is Jared Sandler, plus Corey's favorite story in all of sports gets another update. Next on The Fan.
The 3-2 on the way, swinging a high drive deep left field. Verdugo going back. He's at the track. He looks up. It's gone. Wyatt Langford with his 9th home run of the year.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's talk with Texas Rangers broadcaster and the man who knows everything about baseball and probably college basketball, too. It is Jared Sandler. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right. Jared, I promise the rest of my questions will be more level-headed, but I need you to tell me not to panic about Tyler Mahle and Cody Bradford.
Well, I'll tell you this with Mahle. He's supposed to pitch tomorrow, so
okay.
You know, hopefully that's a good indication, right? But I go back to my first week ever working at the station. I think I shared this with you guys a few weeks ago. Yu Darvish, he Had a little elbow soreness. We were told it wasn't a big deal. And then next thing you know, he has Tommy John. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case with Cody Bradford by any means, but what I do know is that whenever a pitcher is dealing with any kind of elbow, forearm, shoulder issue, you have to wait and see. So the good news is they got an MRI and there was no structural damage. Obviously, you know, if there was structural damage, then we'd be having a different conversation right now. They're going to shut him down for a few days and then see where it's at. But just because there's no structural damage doesn't mean that in a few days everything's going to be peachy, right? We need to, you know, get that update. Hey, he feels good. Maybe just a little spring fatigue in the elbow. We're ready to roll. If that's the case, cool. And we'll probably forget about it in a few weeks. If it's not the case, then, you know, we'll figure out what those options are. But the last thing I'll say on this, Cody Bradford had thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, which, you know, it's a pretty involved surgery, but he has yet to have Tommy John. And there are some people out there who think that there are two types of pitchers, who have had Tommy John and pitchers who are going to have Tommy John. And I'm not putting that on Cody by any means. I'm just saying, this is not a case of someone who recently had it. This is someone who has had health in that, in that part of his body with his elbow. And hopefully this is nothing more than fatigue, because there isn't any kind of a history of Cody Bradford having this sort of an injury.
Does a little bit of extra, I don't know if it's like a tension or you cross your fingers or whatever, come into play for Mally tomorrow? Just because, you know, we saw last year he made a really cool comeback, but then obviously he couldn't get very far in the season before he had to be shut down again. So is there extra like attention on him tomorrow to make sure that this is not a problem?
Yeah, and I think, you obviously want him in general to come out feeling good, but I think he also, you may be looking at the velocity. If he goes out throwing 89, then you're like, all right, well, you might say you feel good, but that's not what's going on there, right? So, but yeah, I think, I hate to say it, I think until maybe we get a few starts into the regular season, and by a few, I don't mean three or four, I mean maybe six or seven, you're going to wonder every time he walks off the mound,
yeah,
was he walking off, like, does he feel okay, right? I think it's a normal mental, behavior to this sort of thing with, how prevalent pitching injuries are and, all these sorts of deals. So, hopefully he pitches tomorrow. He's going to piggyback and there's weather concerns tomorrow. So don't know if he'll be in a game in Scottsdale or in a simulated game back at the complex, but he is going to pitch a few innings and hopefully it goes well. And hopefully, much like I mentioned with Cody Bradford, in a few days, if he comes back feeling good, hopefully it's something that we forget about in a few weeks' time. But I think because of Mally's recent history, it's going to be a little tougher to get that out of the back of your mind than it will for Cody if Cody in 4 or 5 days starts throwing again and, all systems go.
Jared, this is a very elementary question. I wanted you to know that I know that part of it. I keep seeing numbers saying that the Rangers, their exit velo 107. Well, these numbers that are this. How important is it that the Rangers are hitting the ball hard?
Yeah, it's. I think when you consider that last year, not something that we're used to saying about a Rangers team, but that the lineup is what let them down. The bullpen wasn't great, but. The lineup, I think, in general, is expected to be one of the best in baseball, and it just wasn't. It wasn't close to that. And they really emphasized, restocking a lineup, having a lineup that matches up better game to game, stuff like that. And, Corey, I know you know this. It doesn't mean that it translates to the regular season, but right. At the end of the day, you hit the ball hard, you hit the ball hard. And, it doesn't matter who's on the mound. Your capacity as a hitter to hit the ball hard really doesn't change whether you're facing Joe Schmo in the eighth inning or Corbin Burns in the second inning, right? You're as strong as you can be, and the velocity from a pitcher can add to that. But the reality is Joe Schmo in the eighth inning these days is throwing, from minor league camp in spring training is still probably throwing 98 miles an hour, right? So, I think you look at some of these metrics, exit velocity, WOBA, stuff like that, the Rangers have checked out really well. I think they've had multiple extra base hits in 18 straight spring training games. It's got to translate, but I do think that you're getting a good look at what this team can be. And Chris Young even mentioned earlier today when he was discussing the pitching injuries, and just the growing pains perhaps of some young pitchers, that the Rangers are going to have to win more games this year, probably like yesterday's game, 13-6, and scoring, you know, eight or more runs and stuff like that. It's not like it's going to be the 99 Rangers or anything where
right.
the ERA is going to be north of five, but this is a team that I think they feel like can go toe-to-toe and slug their way to wins, which is just not something they were able to do last year.
I know if the Rangers stayed injury-free, Teodo was always going to be unlikely to break camp on the roster, and I understand that. I'm just curious what you've thought about how he's performed, whether it's in the games, on the backfield, anything like that during spring training.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I still stand by what I said. I still think that he is going to lead this team in saves. Now, I'm not putting all my chips in the middle on this. I just don't know. You know, he's 100, 101 with sink and a nasty slider, and he can throw a changeup. Now, I think the Rangers wanted to pitch in AAA. That's just, that makes sense. And I know there's still thought that Emiliano Teodo maybe, you know, as a starting pitcher, although you don't want to give up on a guy as a starter by any means, and I don't think anyone's giving up on him. I mean, last year, he had 19 starts and he had a sub-2 ERA in Double-A. Now, he wasn't pitching five innings at a time, right? He was averaging a little more than four innings per outing. And that's the thing is I don't know, you know, I don't know if he is a starter long-term. He might be. And here's the other side of this. He could be a reliever at the major league level this year, and the Rangers could decide to stretch him out next year. I mean, the Rangers on opening day are going to face a guy for whom that was his trajectory in all likelihood, and Garrett Crochet. The White Sox brought him up. You know, he was a reliever. It was a way to control his innings, and now he's stretched out and is a, you know, highly coveted starter. So there are plenty of examples of this. I just think that in 2025 with a Rangers team that is likely going to be contending for a division and beyond that, Emiliano Teodo probably isn't going to be positioned to help them much as a starter, maybe a multi-inning reliever, but probably not as a starter. But I think he could really help answer some questions in the back end of the bullpen. And he has got nasty stuff. It moves. It is heavy. Weak contact when the ball is put in play. Just haven't seen a lot of balls squared up against him. So, yeah, I get it. He hasn't thrown a single pitch in AAA in his career. Have him go to AAA, get off to a good start. But I imagine we're going to see Emiliano Teodo sooner rather than later.
Go back to the conversation of Malley and Bradford real quick. What is the real or what you think might be the contingency plan in the rotation if something was to happen to those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at Jack Leiter for one. That's an easy one. And then I guess the question is, you know, do the Rangers want Kamar Rocker to start the season in the rotation? Or do they want, as a part of their plan to control his innings, just have him start in AAA? I mean, he's only made three AAA starts or two AAA starts or whatever it is. So it's not like he's, done everything he can there. And that might, guys, I maybe I'm wrong. I feel like that might more be just an internal conversation. How do we want to handle Kamar Rocker? And no matter what else is going on around, isn't going to really impact that. But Kamar Rocker is definitely an option. And then, you know, maybe it's this year's Jose Ureña, and maybe that's Adrian Hauser or, another NRI guy who it gives them the opportunity to keep them around a little bit longer to see, you know, what they've got. They've talked about stretching out a guy like Patrick Murphy. I don't think that he's necessarily going to be an option, but right now, I mean, I think it's, and gosh, I can't even believe I didn't mention Dane Dunning, right? I mean, it could also be Dane Dunning. But I do think the one for sure is Jack Leiter, and then it's just a matter philosophically, do they want it to be Kamar Rocker? Because if they do, then it's him. But if they feel like what's best for Kamar is just to start slowly in AAA so they can control his innings of the season, then you're probably looking at Dane Dunning or Adrian Hauser.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Dunning's name because it's been a relatively quiet spring for him so far. And the idea, I think, that we got was he's a long reliever and they'd like to keep him in that role. But as far as being able to move around, he can do that at any time, right?
Yeah, and you're right. And here's the difference with Kamar Rocker and Dane Dunning. And this is not a shot at Dane Dunning, but Kamar Rocker is one of the top prospects, you know, pitching prospects, if you still want to call him a prospect, if he hasn't, you know, in your mind, graduated from that label. In baseball, right? He's a top 100 prospect. I think a lot of people look at Kamar Rocker and whether they see him as an ace or a guy who can be a, you know, a big dog starting playoff games for you in your rotation, that's, you know, that's his trajectory and that's his profile. Whereas Dane Dunning, just that's not him. And he's also more, you know, advanced in his career. There aren't as many physical concerns, you know, that you are going to be protective over. And so for Dane Dunning, you're right, Corey, I think they would love for him to be in a long relief multi-inning role. But that's something that I think they would be way more willing to change based on the environment. Whereas with Kamar Rocker, again, maybe what's going on impacts it. But I, you know, I think that ultimately they're going to do whatever they think is best for Kamar Rocker's, you know, long-term prospects. Whereas again, with Dane Dunning, I think, you know, that versatility is a big part of what he brings right now. So yeah, you know, maybe they keep them both, right? Maybe they keep Dane Dunning and A-Star both being Dunning and Adrian Hauser. And that way they do slot Dane Dunning in that multi-inning relief role. But he does have the ability to serve as a starting pitcher and then move back into a multi-inning long relief type role when guys get healthy. And I would just say this too, guys. I don't know how many times I've mentioned the word depth. I mean, depth is, it's not sexy. It's easy to forget. It's huge. And just think about the New York Yankees. There's a reason why the updated Pecota projections have the Rangers as the best team in the American League, because the Yankees are, you know, going to be without Gerrit Cole all year. They'll be without Luis Gil for several months. And don't get me wrong, it's not like they're lacking depth. I mean, they're throwing out Fried, Rodon, and Stroman. That's not bad. Clark Schmidt as well. But, you know, they've got injuries that are significant for significant periods of time. And the Rangers right now, I mean, you know, maybe it materializes into that, but that's just not the case. And the fact that we're talking about a guy who's the all-time winningest pitcher in Globe Life Field history, Dane Dunning, is maybe not even still being good enough for the rotation. I know it's not like a 50-year history of the ballpark, but point is, he's got skins on the wall, right? Yes. He's not just some guy who's, I don't know, is he a major leaguer? No, Dane Dunning's a major league pitcher. In what role is best? Maybe it is the long relief role, but if you're going to use him as a starter, you can do far worse than that. And I think the depth that this organization has is putting them in a position to weather some of these storms.
Talk with Texas Rangers broadcaster Jared Sandler right here on The Fan. Jared, did you get one of those hats?
No, and can I be honest, guys? I think those hats would be way more of an issue if it was T-A-T-A-S. I don't – the T-E-T-A – what, am I missing something? It just didn't strike me as that big of a deal.
I think it's a
– Spanish.
Yes, Spanish.
Oh, is that Spanish for that word?
Yes.
It's a Spanish slang term.
Yeah, so just like, don't run around saying it on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like okay. Mike.
What's that?
Like Mike, he's doing his Duolingo right now. He got an 87.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
If you get one, let me know.
I think they shut them down. Not sure why that wasn't. I mean, obviously, whether I understood it or not, I recognize that it created a little bit of a fuss, and I'm not sure why that stuff doesn't get stopped well in advance of taking them to the store, so to speak. But I did not get it, but maybe I'll try if I can get a bootleg one.
Please. Yes, please do.
I thought they were ugly too, just being honest.
Yeah, but now they'll be a collector's item because they got pulled off the shelves.
Exactly.
So we were Corey and I were having this conversation earlier, and I am dead serious when I ask you this. If everybody expects the Dodgers to be the super team, and I know Dave Roberts just got his new deal and everything, if they went like something ridiculous, like 135-27, would he win manager of the year? Or do you think everyone would be like, don't care?
I say no, Jared. I say he's already got the best roster, so nobody's going to care.
I think if he set a record for wins in a season, they will. And they'll say, hey, he had to figure out how to manage all of this and blah, blah, blah. But I will return the question to you guys. I believe Dave Roberts is a good manager.
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think he's a bad manager by any means, but I've yet to have anyone tell me, I've asked this question not to be like a pot stirrer or anything, but like, what makes him so great? Like, what does he do that is great as a manager as opposed to just having these amazing rosters, right? And now, there are really good rosters that underachieve. There have been Mets managers of the past who, you know, would say, yeah, hey, I had a great roster and I sucked. Don't get me wrong. I think Dave Roberts is a really good manager, but like I've asked people who have played for him and maybe who haven't, but would know. And I'm like, what makes him so special? And I don't get like anything that really is like, okay, yeah, I get it. I totally understand why you think he's the best manager in baseball. But he has done a really nice job dealing with, you know, whatever talent and egos and issues that have come up. Conflict resolution is a huge part of that. But I mean, if you were to ask me to name the top five managers in baseball, to the point of the question, maybe I would feel like forced to put Dave Roberts in there, but I don't know how compelled I feel like I feel putting Dave Roberts in there right now, just because it's tough to separate the manager from the super talent.
I know I don't believe it was the Rangers, but did you see the umpire at first who called out safe out, and he just really couldn't make up his mind on that? Have you seen that very often?
Never. No, I mentioned that yesterday on the broadcast, and I thought Ron Washington was maybe going to get ejected from a spring training game. Because you guys know, I mean, guys screw calls up, but like,
sure.
When you don't show command of what you're doing out there, that you're opening the door for problems. So, I had never seen that. I think that umpire probably felt very embarrassed in that moment. I'm not sure what was going on, but gosh, I hope that doesn't happen in the regular season. And, you know, just to combine the two questions, Kevin, it's kind of like Dave Roberts is kind of like Mike Krzyzewski. Was he really that good of a coach when they had the best rosters? I mean,
are you about to give me your bull crap about how they didn't win outright conference titles and that's why he's not a good coach?
I love it.
I mean, that is the ultimate demonstration of coaching over a larger sample size.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'll give him credit. I'll give him a pass. I mean, for not taking three lottery picks to the final four. I mean,
okay.
That's kind of egregious.
So what you would prefer in the next 3 years is for Boach to win back to back to back AL West titles and no playoff anything, or would you rather have a World Series?
Not a one and done format. I'm giving him a slight pass because March Madness is a one and done format, and if college kids just show up not feeling it that day, like I get it.
Fluky.
But the playoffs are a series format, so it's a little bit different.
Does that mean you're going to root for Duke in this NCAA tournament because it would undercut the greatness of Coach K because
John Chow tribesman, which, you know, that always helps. I just kind of think they're the best team in the country. I'm curious how the bracket plays out. In all seriousness, again, just because I'm sure there are people out there that are like, oh, you're an idiot. I think Coach K is one of the five best coaches in college basketball history. I just don't know that he is for sure the best coach in college basketball history. And I think you could really take what Bill Self has accomplished at Kansas and make a very compelling case that his resume is quite impressive alongside Mike Krzyzewski.
How many championships did he win?
I love
by the
it,
way?
Jared. Thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate you.
See you guys.
God, he knows that pisses me off so
does.
Much, too.
He went out of his way to create that answer and troll you that hard. I love it.
This is the part where it's supposed to be like, I didn't get drawn offside.
You did.
I've had that exact argument with Jared Sandler before, and it still draws me offside.
I think he's winning that one.
Look.
We're going to talk a little more about the college basketball conference tournaments in the C block.
So. Okay, but that's a perfect, actually, segue. Because it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. 877-881-1053. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or do they legitimately think that Bill Self is as good at coaching college basketball as Coach K is? Let us know at 877-881-1053, Franklin Injury Attorney text line.
I did get an answer to one of our questions that we were just kind of asking amongst ourselves earlier today. Alec, the meat of the baseball schedule is?
Oh, yes.
Post-All-Star break. So that's where the meat of the baseball schedule is.
And makes sense.
We got that in Spanish, as Mike is now learning Spanish. And
did you send that question to him in Spanish?
I did send it in English and Spanish.
Yeah, that's nice.
I figure that's the way he's trying to learn it, and I figure that's the best way to help him is by communicate with him via Spanish.
I got it confused for just a second because his Duolingo would lead us to believe he's learned 87% of all Spanish. Is that what that was telling us?
I thought he got an 87 grade on whatever assignment was.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
That's why I said classic Mike, be student.
All right. That makes a lot more sense.
That's his fastball right there.
It is his fastball.
So can I ask you a quick question about college basketball in My Buddy's an Idiot?
Yes.
Do you think that the way they structure conference tournaments is stupid? I'll give you an example. We'll go with the SEC. There are 16 teams in the SEC tournament. So I know what you're thinking. Perfect. 16-team bracket. No. It is a bye and double bye system by which teams start playing today, but Auburn, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee don't start playing until Friday because they get a double bye. Do you think that's dumb, or do you think that's a nice reward for the teams who went through a really tough conference?
I say nice reward.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think those things are important, you know, just rewards are very important.
And it's just because, like, South Carolina is like, oh, man, today we could be playing Auburn, but instead they need to beat Arkansas, so then tomorrow they can beat Ole Miss. So then on Friday, they can play Auburn.
We will not be talking about college basketball now in the C block. Kevin just answered all the questions I wanted to ask.
That was your only question?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I believe that, but maybe you're right. All right. Are the Dallas Cowboys...
I gotta go find another topic, Kevin. Oh my God. Give me a minute.
Are the Dallas Cowboys idiots because they had Charvarius Ward? I know it was a long time ago, but
Did we get him back?
No.
Oh.
So... the Colts gave him a 3-year, $60 million deal, and I was like, we had him for nothing. And we're like, you're not good enough.
We just said, see you later, and then he went on to be like the best for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, it's not like we need a cornerback, though.
We don't.
Yes, we do!
Name one reason.
Well, because are you curious about Trayvon Diggs and if he's going to be healthy?
He's being paid $100 million.
Okay.
He needs to be out there.
And we lost Jordan Lewis earlier.
Kalen Carson, baby, or Andrew Booth. He's a good shot from what I hear.
Okay. So potentially it could be Deron Bland, Kalen Carson, and Andrew Booth. That's who we're...
Or potentially it could be... Deron Bland, Kalen Carson, and Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
So
or could be Kalen Carson, Andrew Booth, and whoever's next.
Oh, no. Well, dude, I understand. Was it Butler? Was that the other guy that we had last year?
Nobody knows.
I totally understand that. Yes, the Cowboys, they definitely need the position. From the 4-2-5, we don't need a cornerback. We need two cornerbacks.
There you go.
And that is like, listen, man, the draft might definitely be a place where they are looking high to go get one there. I did see, is Eberflus, he's at Georgia's pro day today, checking out what's going on there.
From the 817, man, this is so real right here. My buddy is an idiot because he's getting married four states away and taking up my whole spring break. What are your thoughts on the destination wedding?
Okay, listen.
Oh my gosh.
When my best man from my wedding got married, Adrian had gotten pregnant, and we weren't able to make the trip to Mexico where they were having their wedding.
Score.
It is the biggest regret I have because I missed that. Even your wedding, I showed up. It was late, but I showed up, all right?
Yes.
But, like, this is one of my biggest regrets because I feel really, and I've told him, he knows, I feel really bad about that. Destination weddings aren't for everybody, though. Not everybody has the money to be able to make that trip. But if he lives four states away and you have to go to him, that's just part of the gig, all right? You travel to there.
That's true.
So here's my suggestion. Don't have friends that live in other states.
Oh, man.
Only once they get out of the state, you say, well, it was a good run. I appreciate it.
Fair. Man, from the 469, my buddy's an idiot because he is selectively aggressive. That's about the Cowboys.
Dude.
From the...
That's going to live with... What's next year's? Are we already starting to come up with next year's pre-free agency line?
No. Yes. It's going to be passively aggressive. Where Stephen Jones is going to throw up more air quotes and things like that. Oh, sorry, fans. And like, that's how it's going to go.
Say stuff like, it's not.
This is the life with Joseph.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, Jerry.
He'll say stuff like, it's not like we traded Luka.
Actually, I think that should be their campaign for this season.
I do too.
Whatever happens, like we traded Luka.
First interview with Jerry. He should be like, guys, y'all's thoughts on that Luka thing?
Yes. If we get Jerry at training camp this year, I'm going to ask him if their slogan should be, whatever happens, at least we didn't trade Luka. The 469, my buddy is an idiot. He kicked out my car window for no reason when I was borrowing something. All right. I'm assuming that is a shot at me from when I worked at Blockbuster, and I did get fired for that. And you can't just borrow brand new movies and like, well, I guess he did.
Yeah.
I got two of them back.
But is that all of them?
Yeah. No, there was, he got four and I only got two of them back.
I did half the job.
Yeah. Well, I got fired all the way after that. So
yeah, they should only should have half fired you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hate to leave.
You're a part-timer now.
Interesting.
Huh.
Now, speaking of the Mavericks, and
you've worked at Blockbuster part-time?
No.
As a part-time, you're a part-time manager too. That would, so you're like, you have the power, but not really because you have to clock out now.
That would be weird. And we had done really well at our like frowned upon store where they didn't give us a lot of resources.
That was a tough store.
Yeah.
I went into that store. I think I went in that store while you were there and we may have crossed paths then because I know one of your coworkers was there. He had the hair.
Yes.
And so I went into that store frequently. That was a tough store. Very tough store. I lived in that neighborhood.
And then they moved me to a worse store. And they're like, hey, we need you to fix this one up. But then when I tried with vigilante justice, they said, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know Bobby mentioned this yesterday. We got to go back to the Mavericks. Are they still idiots because now they're ruining the business scene for restaurants and bars downtown? Because various places, this is a story from the Dallas Observer, said their business is down 15% to 20% during Mavericks games because people are just like, whatever.
Did you see Brad Townsend's story about the new, or was it Brad? Yeah, it was Brad Townsend about the new arena, what they're hoping to do.
Get Luka back.
They're not going to get Luka. Guys.
Just say it.
We have to move on. We have
trust in Nico.
No, I didn't.
Oh wow!
Oh my gosh. We have to move on. We're no, never mind. We can't. You said it earlier off air. I just still can't. We're a month later. I still can't believe it happened. I've never seen anything like it in sports. Never. So I agree with you. No, they're trying to figure out where to put the new arena. And
okay,
so
yeah.
that does sound like part of the conversation with Dumont is like, look, we're staying here. We're just trying to rebuild somewhere else in here in DFW. Okay. We want a resort. We want these things. So they're trying to do it in Dallas. But there are some other cities. Irving is throwing their hat in the ring. They're all trying to do it too. So I think, Kevin, that as much as that is losing now, if a new place pops up at some point, the Rangers or the Mavericks will definitely help the economy pop a little for with businesses around there. Right now in Arlington, look what they've done with Texas Live.
Yeah.
And that area around there is thriving a little bit too.
Now, I know a lot of I know you guys probably don't care as much because you're not Avalanche fans, but does Xfinity Cable, are they idiots because they had a broadcast malfunction and it was at the exact time that Nathan MacKinnon scored his 1,000th career point?
Oh.
Some people got the broadcast back but still missed that moment. Other people didn't get the game back at all.
Is there a video of it, though? They're like, does it exist?
I bet it exists.
Okay.
Because I'm sure they still caught it on video. They just didn't have the platform to disseminate it to everybody for whatever reason. Are they idiots for missing that key step? Are they like, it's not my fault, technology?
That is almost as uncontrollable as the amount of time it takes for a drop or a piece of audio to get put up on our radio. Like, we have no clue when it's going to happen.
That's true.
You just push the button, pray for a second, and then you hope.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, the prayer, like, you prayed already. Now you're hoping. So I think that's the thing there.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Let's give it away now!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Wrong band, but yes, now.
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see the Fray when they come to the Southside Ballroom on Friday, July 25th. You can buy tickets, of course, or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. And coming up next, it's time for the C Block.
What is your favorite moment of instant karma? Next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.